This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Merrill. Merrill exists to give you all you need to discover the simple yet profound power of the trail. They believe the trail is for everybody and everybody. Merrill's goal is to provide thoughtfully designed, rigorously tested products that over-deliver on performance, versatility, and durability. Because when you've got air in your lungs and good shoes on your feet, you've got everything you need. Stay tuned for later in the episode. We'll talk with Nicole Brown, founder of Women Who Hike, about the big hike she has planned this summer. Learn more at Merrill.com. That's Merrill.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. A couple of weeks ago, I hopped in my car and I drove 100 miles to Hanover, New Hampshire. It's where a northbound Appalachian Trail, or AT through hikers, crossed the border from Vermont heading to Mount Katahdin. It took me a little over 2 hours to drive that 100 miles, and I was meeting up with a through hiker who typically hikes that distance in 4 days or so. Her name is Griselle Williams. 3 months after finishing the Pacific Crest Trail, she started hiking the AT. Griselle grew up in Miami and Tennessee. As a young girl, she read a memoir called As Far as the Eye Can See by David Brill. The author had a different background than her. He's white and hiked the AT in the 70s. She's Latina and was born years after he hiked. But something in his experience of hiking from Georgia to Maine always held an appeal.
And I hiked all day, and tomorrow morning I'm hiking another like 20 miles. I was actually thinking about how interesting that was, because I feel like most people, like from what I've listened to, they've finished their book. They've like, it's like a completion. I'm like in the middle. I might sound like an absolute like chaotic person, because I'm just like literally like, I'm living it. I am so thankful. My partner sent me these clothes. This is a t-shirt that like Sheila's lending me that's made out of cotton, which is like, just freaking heavenly. And I feel a little all over the place. Very raw content.
Griselle's right. She was in the thick of it. She still is. As of the day this episode airs, she'll have less than a week left on the Appalachian Trail.
I'm on the Appalachian Trail, northbounding, and on my last two states. That's so crazy, out of the 14. It's been, what day is it? The 9th? Is it the 8th? The 9th?
The 10th.
10th, so it's been 3 months yesterday. I've been on trail.
I pulled into Hanover on a humid Monday night, and the town is buzzing. I'd imagine that I would see through hikers everywhere, but instead it is Dartmouth College grads and their parents. I met Griselle at her hotel. In true thru-hiker fashion, she was sharing a room with two other hikers she met on trail, along with one of their wives. We headed over to a nearby Irish pub for dinner before the interview. Honestly, I probably could have skipped the formal interview and just plopped a recorder on the bar top. Over burgers, we talked about how life brought us here. A big thing I noticed, Griselle was happy to talk with a woman. She's one of the faster hikers on the trail, and for her, that means she's surrounded by men. Griselle has warm brown eyes and a tendency to turn a question back around to me. I learned that she's the kind of person who will pay for dinner when you get up to go to the bathroom. After eating, we headed back to the hotel room, and she made me a cup of tea and generously broke off a part of a big chocolate cookie. It's fun to see how thru-hikers eat. I can see how you get used to that kind of hunger, that kind of insatiableness. That's what this interview is all about, getting a sense of what it's like to be in it. It's also about what it's like to be a woman on a crowded trail. A heads up for listeners, towards the end of the episode, there's talk of sexual assault. I'll let you know when it's coming if you need to skip over it.
And I did the first half with my dog, so it was just completely different trail and experience. But I did that first half in a little over 2 months, and then ever since I said bye to my pups, I've just sped up a lot.
Griselle's trail mates clear out, and we talk about how she started the AT with her dog, Rue. There was air conditioning going the whole time in the room, so just ignore that noise.
She's a Rhodesian Ridgeback. She's like this short-haired, and she kind of has like a pit walk, but she's just adorable. I adopted her from the shelter 2 years ago, and all that shit happened.
We'll go back to what happened 2 years ago in a bit. Back to Grizel gushing about Rue.
I adopted her kind of just knowing that I needed a friend and I needed someone I could count on and also someone that could count on me. But she is obsessed with being outside. Like, she's the fastest dog at the dog park and like just would like doesn't get tired. So after the PCT, one of the hardest parts, I miss my partner, of course, but I miss my dog so much. And I was just like, the AT is super dog friendly from like what I had read. And so I was like, it'd be so cool to like take my dog with me on this trail and like to really have that bonding experience. Cause she just loves it. And her joy makes me so happy. Like, it's like one of the most simple joys in my life. I just love seeing her be wild outside. And I'm like the dog. I love watching her chase squirrels and deer. And it's just like, she's just so free. I mean, she's super trained, but like, well, she's pretty trained. I just loved seeing her out there. So I got to do that first half with her, but it was really freaking hard too. But yeah, she finished to Harper's Ferry, which is half the trail. So yeah. I think that's pretty damn good.
Was that the goal?
No, the goal was for her to do the whole through hike. But after watching the heat get really hot in Virginia and me kind of realizing that I didn't want to spend longer than 4 months on trail was a, like a lot of people do the AT and they like can take 6 months to do the trail. I just know that that wasn't for me. Like, that's not enjoyable for me. Like, I'm too competitive with myself. I would get bored. And I knew that if she was going to stay with me on trail, because you have to hike your dog's trail. Like, you cannot, for me, like, I think it's important that I can't push her more than she can be pushed, you know? So I kind of realized, like, I don't want to be out here for longer than I need to be, you know? So I said bye to her at Harper's Ferry, which is really freaking hard, but also very relieving because she doesn't want to be in. Do you have any dogs?
Mm-mm.
No. But you know, like they don't do well in heat, like super, yeah. super hot places.
Yeah, and you have to be worried about their water.
Water, their food. Paws. And honestly, being up from the Mason-Dixon line, you guys do not believe in switchbacks up here. Like your hiking is just like straight up and it's really rocky. And I've literally, ever since I said bye to her at Harper's Ferry, I've been like, I could not imagine her being with me. It's so hard for humans. Like, how could you do this to a dog?
There are certain parts that you'd probably have to carry her too, I would think.
I had to carry her like one time already, but that wasn't even like the freaking hiking over here. People underestimate the Northeast a lot. Like the West Coasters, like I'm sure you know, like, mm-hmm. They think that because they have these, like, 14ers, like, that these, like, 3,000-footers are nothing. But I'm like, these are such hard mountains, I think. I don't know.
I've got to say, as someone who was born and raised in New Hampshire, I take some pride in her saying that. I asked her how the Pacific Crest Trail and the AT compare.
God, there's so many differences. Yeah. The biggest ones, obviously the terrain. So the PCT is graded for horses. And so there's a lot of switchbacks. Nothing's ever super steep. There's like a few steep sections, but not really. And then the AT, like we just said, like there's just no, especially the northern part, there have been no switchbacks and it's just like straight climbing and then straight down. The weather on the PCT is so much better. Like it rained twice on the whole trail for me.
Wow.
On the PCT, and I didn't even carry a tent for most of the trail. And then for the AT, it rains all the time. And then just like the people are super different. There's more diversity on the PCT. The AT seems to be like very divided. It's like a lot of like people right out of college, and this is not everyone, but this is generalizing, of course, but most people like right out of college. And then there's like a lot of more retired people, and usually retired white men is kind of the demographic that we're seeing a lot on the trail. So It's another difference. And then the PCT, you have to be able to do longer mile days and like longer carries, whereas the AT, you can stop in a town like every 2 days. Like you don't ever have to like, you're never really in the woods. Like you're in the woods, kind of, so far. And this is coming from just New Hampshire. But you're never like in the middle of nowhere kind of feeling. You're always like close enough to something so far. So those are probably the biggest differences.
Is that a good feeling or a bad feeling or somewhere in between?
There's definitely pros and cons. I think like on the PCT, I was super lonely and I didn't see a lot of people and I wanted the interactions. But I liked it also that I got to just really be in the woods and like really just struggle with loneliness. I think it's important for me, at least. It's really important for me to struggle with loneliness and be like, okay, how am I going to handle this loneliness, you know? So I really liked how much I grew as a person. On the AT, it's almost like overstimulating. Like it actually, after the PCT, I really struggled with like coming back to society. Like a lot of people get the blues or whatever. For me, it was like post-childhood depression was very real for me. And so I really struggled with like talking to people and socializing. And the AT feels like it's a step in the right direction of like socializing again. Like, cause you're just around a lot of, there's always people, even in like, I'm not in the bubble anymore cause we're so far ahead of the Nobo bubble. But you're still socializing quite a lot. Even if it's just day hikers, there's just people on trail all the time. So yeah, I don't know. I definitely think I prefer more being in the woods and not seeing as many, but that's probably my preference.
Why do you say working through loneliness is important for you?
I've always struggled with loneliness, and I feel like a lot of times it's for me, it was really easy for me to mask it. Like there's just always someone to talk to. And I grew up, my mom has changed a lot over the last few years, but she's very codependent, like especially as a Hispanic person, like codependency is something you see a lot in Hispanic culture, just like you need, and we see it in America and all cultures, but like you need a man to like feel sufficient or like you need a man to feel wholesome or whatever. And so that was like something I saw growing up, and I also did, you know, like I didn't know how to be by myself. And I hated that. Like, I was like, I hate that I need to, like, when I'm upset, I need to call someone. I didn't want to struggle with that anymore. And that's a huge reason why I wanted to go SOBO on the PCT. I was like, I want to freaking fight this because it's terrifying. Like, being really by yourself and, like, not having any, like, no service to call anybody or, like, having to problem solve. Like, I just didn't know how to do any of that for my whole life. Like, literally to, like, truly 2 years ago when I had that incident happen, and I was just like, I need to like learn that I could be okay by myself, and not even be okay, but just be like, do I love myself? Like, do I really love myself like I tell people to do? And so God, it was such a freaking amazing experience. It was terrible, and like you're just stripped down, right? But like to know that I was worth it to take time for myself and to love myself and to feel the loneliness and then care for it. I thought it was just really powerful for me. And that's something I haven't gotten on the AT, because you're just not lonely ever, because there's always someone there, you know?
You were telling people to do this for themselves that you weren't doing for yourself, and that's because you were a therapist before.
Yeah, a therapist. And also I was always definitely that friend that like, people always called to like, you know, I love narratives. Like I said, I really like narratives and stories, and I really like hearing people's, not problems, but just why they are the way they are. People are fascinating, right? Obviously you understand that too. But like, yeah, so doing that, I definitely realized when I was a therapist, I was like, wow, I'm telling people, not even like telling or preaching, but like, I keep encouraging people to like really take time for themselves. And I'm like, I definitely don't do that, you know? And it's really hard. Like we, especially in America, we are go, go, go. And as women, there's like a huge pressure to stay busy all of the time. And we don't take time for ourselves. And it's I don't know.
Why do you say that as women?
Oh, I think there's a huge pressure for women, too. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I was just curious why you think so.
Well, why do you think so?
See what I mean? Grizel has a way of turning the questions back to you. We talk about sexism on and off the trail after this. Merrill exists to give you all you need to discover the simple yet profound power of the trail. I caught up with Nicole Brown, an ambassador of Merrill and the founder of Women Who Hike, about what she's planned for this summer.
So I am looking forward to doing some backpacking this summer, maybe getting back to Utah and to the Northwest. But the biggest thing on my calendar this year is the High Sierra Trail, 72 miles of backpacking that actually ends on Mount Whitney. And it will be my longest backpacking trip yet, 7-8 days in the backcountry.
I also asked Nicole what Merrill shoes she's excited about, and boy, did she deliver.
So I want to say that everything in the lineup at Merrill has been getting better and better, especially for women. We've been with Merrill since 2016 now, when they first started their women's initiative. And it's been amazing to see the progression in the line. But right now and for summer, you can't go wrong with the MQM, which is sort of a do-it-all shoe. It actually stands for Moving Quickly in the Mountains. That's what I will be wearing on the High Sierra Trail. The new Hydro Hiker is awesome. It's called the Chop Rock. I just recently had those in Utah. And I'm also really excited about the new Ontario 85, which is a recreate of a vintage shoe that I've been wearing. But now it's packed full of all the technology and performance that I would want in a hiker.
Stay tuned for more stories with Merrill this summer. And to learn more in the meantime, visit Merrill.com. That's Merrell.com. We're back. And Grizel just asked me why I think women don't always take time for themselves that they really need.
Well, I had this conversation with my partner, and he is the kind of person who... We actually tried working together for a while, and we couldn't because I was always telling him he needed to work more. Like, I was kind of, like, micromanaging him because his style is, I'm going to slam out this presentation, and then I'm going to go, he body surfs. I'm going to go body surf for 2 or 3 hours, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to, like, finish a few more things.
Right.
And my style is, I'm going to keep working, and, you know, it's, and I think, at least for, you know, talking about me specifically, it's... I feel like I have to work harder to prove myself.
That is a really good point. That's something I have dealt on this trail. Like, we do feel like, because we're not taken seriously otherwise. Like, I know that's super generalizing, but I definitely feel that too.
As a hiker?
Especially as a fast hiker in this bubble. 49er, who's the guy I've been hiking with.
49er is the trail name of Grizel's hiking partner. His name is pretty intuitive. He's 49 years old and a father.
49er has been really cool because he's never seen, like, the patriarchy, or, like, he's never seen, like, this type of misogyny, like, in real life. Like, he's seen it in movies or he's heard about it, and his daughter talks to him about it. And it's like...
And he's in the military and seen it?
Yeah, even in the military, he said that, like, even if it happened, there was a consequence right afterwards, and it's just, like, it's taken care of. Like, it's never, like, a drawn-out thing. Mm-hmm. And for him to see, like, I cannot tell you. It happens at least every week, mm-hmm. but it's lately been happening a lot more frequently. But the amount of times that I have been given, like, unsolicited advice about, like, me hiking... Or me doing what I, like, I can, like, it's just, so an example that happened, like, there's a group of 6 of us, and I was the only female, and we were talking about, I cold soak all my food, I don't have a stove, and there's another guy who's sitting right next to me who's talking about cold soaking, he's like, I've had quinoa for 54 days, and I've cold soaked it, and the day 55, I got nauseous and, like, almost threw up, and it was just, like, a funny story. Yeah. I was like, no, I was saying, like, yeah, I cold soak, and I just mostly do, like, tuna and wraps and ramen, and do a lot of ramen, and this, like, older man was like, well, does your mom know about that? And I was just like, first of all, what does that even mean? Like, I don't even know what that means. And second of all, did you not just hear this guy talk about how he ate quinoa for, like, why didn't you ask him that? Like, that stuff happens to me. Like, so my response has been, what do you mean by that? Like, I'm just calling it out, and I'm not being a jerk, but I'm just saying, like, listen, like, watch what you're saying. Like, I don't, and it's, but that happens all the time. And 49er, he's like seeing it, and he's also like starting to say, like, what do you mean by that? Like, it's a simple question, but it calls it out. It's gentle enough, but it's also saying, like, listen, that's not your place.
One of the trail truisms is that you have to hike your own hike. But how do you do that when other people are questioning what you do because of your gender? And what about when your safety is compromised? The episode we shared last week featured Sarah Grothgen, who believes she's safest on the trail far away from people. But there are people on popular trails, especially the AT.
You've also already figured things out for yourself. You don't need someone else giving you unsolicited advice. Like, you're proving yourself as it is. You're very capable.
Yeah.
And you're surrounding yourself when you can with people who respect you.
Yeah.
And then you have the uncontrolled aspects of socializing on the trail. And if there's a lot of people, sounds like you said, seems like there's more sexism on the trail. Maybe it's because there's more people. Maybe it's the demographic of the people. Mm. But it's... sounds like it's a bit of a challenging environment at times.
Yeah. It's been more challenging on this trail than it ever was on the PCT. I wonder if it's because a lot of times on the AT, you can take like 6 months to do the trail because it's a lot. You can go into towns and like, so you can do longer or shorter carries. And so that definitely attracts like an older demographic. And that's tough, you know, because a lot of, not everyone, but a lot of people in that generate, it's, and this is something I'm working on as a prejudice of mine, is like, I am like very, I have a prejudice against older white men. And I know that, but that is the demographic that I feel attacked by the most. And that's also the demographic that's also like sexually harassed me on trail. Like already, like, I just like, It's just been so tough. Like, and the thing is that they think it's okay, or they think it's a joke. I had to call someone else out about a random joke that I'm like, that's just not, it's not, this is not okay. I don't know what you got away with your whole life, but this is not okay. Like, we are not objects. We don't do, like, this happened 2 days ago. A guy said, I'm just really surprised that there are women on this trail that I actually can finish this. I was like,
oh my God.
I literally heard that with my ears. I was like, oh my God, how do you, like, this is actually, and it's still happening.
Yeah.
Isn't that just the craziest shit?
Like, that is crazy. That's so frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And that did not, I did not experience that on the PCT. This trail is like, it's going to be the biggest accomplishment. Yes, it's physical, but it's like the mental part, like, and my patience, testing my patience, like how to address it and how to not just blow up. And honestly, 49er has given me so much hope, like with, he's going to be 50 this year. And he has been so not only respectful, but like saying like, this needs to stop. And like, I mean, he using his privilege in the best way possible, being like, I'm a white man, and he can like say something about that. And it's just like, that's been really, it gives me hope, you know? So I've been hanging out with him a lot because of that too. So it just fires me up.
Yeah.
One of the things I always wondered about through hiking is how repetitive it is or isn't. I ask Rizal if there's such a thing as a typical day.
It's really simple. That's like the beauty of through hiking, right? This past week has not been very like typical because we've been in Massachusetts and Connecticut, and there's just a ton of delis and like bagels. And so lately it's been stop at all of the general stores. Yeah. No, but there definitely is. I usually wake up around 5:36, and it takes me about 15-20 minutes to really get going. And you just start walking, and then you take a poo break some time in the morning, and I just kind of do bars, and then I have a breakfast. And I usually like I'll listen to maybe a book in the morning. And then my style of walking is I really don't like to stop that long, especially with the bugs lately. It's just like the mosquitoes like will devour you if you stop. I just bought a bug shirt today or yesterday. So today I felt a lot better hiking today. But yeah, and then you just really just eat and walk. And if there's a tough climb, I'll listen to my really trashy but amazing club music. It's the worst music ever, but it really gets me like going. And so then I'll listen to that on a climb. And then I cold soak. So I just do like a cold soak meal and then I go to bed. It's really simple. And for me, deciding miles lately, it's been just do as many miles as you can and however you feel. And then, but now it's all about towns and enjoying the whites. So yeah, it's a really simple regimen, but I love the structure.
Do you read before bed?
No, I write.
You write?
I always write. Yeah, I always write something before I go to bed. No, I don't, I'm too tired. I'm just so tired every day.
Grizel's vlogging her AT experience too. She's a little behind on the videos because she wants to take it all in. Because I'm on the outside of what a through hike really is like, I think it's really cool that you can get a peek into the little day-to-day things. Like, Grizel charges her phone with an Anker portable charger, and her go-to hiking app is Gut Hook Guides, which keeps her on trail even when she's offline. We ventured into another day-to-day topic.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Bloated.
Don't edit that out.
I didn't drive 2 hours just to talk about my period with Grizel, but I was curious about what it's like for women on trail.
Let's talk about periods on trail. I hate being on my period on trail. And then if you freaking bleed, like, I mean, it happens, right? You bleed on accident a little too much. You should have changed your tampon a little bit earlier,
right?
Yeah,
so you do tampons on the trail.
Yeah, I do. The Diva Cup, well, I don't have a stove. So it's like, where do I boil? Like, there's nothing. But no, I just do tampons. And that's just the worst when it gets like, you bleed a little bit too much and it's like on your shorts. And then you're like, I'm not doing laundry for another week.
And it's extra weight too, yeah, to carry, right? That extra trash and stuff.
Yeah. And it's something like, it's real, like, for me. I'm more fatigued. I can be a bit emotional. Like, I can tell. And then I'm a lot more hungry, and it just affects everything else. And it's something that guys don't have to even think about dealing with, you know what I mean? Like, I hate it. On the PCT, I never even had my period. I think I went through, like, because I was 15 pounds lighter than I am right now on the PCT. I think I went through, like, something happened. My body was like, it was eating itself, kind of thing. This trail, I eat like a queen. So I've had my period twice. I'm just like over. I'm like, well, I thought I was gonna go away again, but it's not. So it's kind of shitty, but that's okay. I'm just trying to. You just have to push through it, you know. Like you just walk. It's so simple. That's something I love about through hiking is like you are so in tune with your body and what it needs. And it's that's a really cool experience because it's not about gaining or losing weight. It's just like, you know what you need. And like on the days I had my period, I was like, I need to go easier today. I am not gonna kill myself and like take, like, why would I go this fast? Like there's just, it's, I don't need that. My body's too important to do that. And it's just this beautiful dance that you have with yourself, and that's something I love about through hiking. It's like body image, all of that kind of just goes out the window. Like you're in like the most basic needs, like what does my body need, what does my heart need, what does my mind need. That's probably one of my, especially for someone who's struggled with body image like her whole life, like I love that part of through hiking.
Is that hard to keep up after the trail?
Yeah. At least for me, it is. I don't know what is normal, I guess, for most women. Mm. I definitely struggle. Do you struggle with body image by chance? It's okay if you don't.
My sister and I both had eating disorders in high school. So like sports related, long distance running. I don't still experience that stuff, but I understand.
See, for me, it never really left me. Like, and I think the way I can tell that I still struggle with it is I compare myself to other people. But on trail, I don't seem to do that as much. I think with social media, you know, like, I feel like it's so interesting what people post. I just get sucked. This is kind of an embarrassing story.
It's okay.
But do you watch The Bachelor?
I don't,
no. Okay, that's probably good. Don't, it's terrible. But I used to, and there was, like, women that I would, like, afterwards, like, I'd follow them on Instagram, and, like, all their, and there's nothing wrong. Like, if you feel good about yourself, you should post a picture about yourself. Like, go for it.
Yeah.
But I'd find myself, like, obsessing, like, about that. I'm like, well, why don't I look like that? And, you know, so I would do that a lot. And I remember this was a few months ago. I called Eric, and I was, like, after getting stuck in the spiral of, like, I literally would just be on Instagram for, like, 30 minutes, and I, like, got lost in, like, comparing myself, my body, to, like, other women's bodies. And I called him afterwards, and I was like, babe, I just spent 30 minutes comparing myself to other women who I'll never look like, and I should never look like, and I just... like, I hate that I even struggled with that, you know? But on trail, it's just not, like, you, first of all, there are not many mirrors, which is great, but, like, you, more importantly, you just feel good because you're just doing your best every day, and that is enough. Not that it goes out the window. I think Mother Nature cares about it, but it's not about what it looks like. It's just, like, you're just doing the best that you can, and that is enough, and that's so powerful to me, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, going back into the real world, I definitely struggle. I didn't struggle with it as much on the, like, right after the PCT as much as I thought. But I only was off trail for 3 months, so I didn't really, like, fully acclimate to the real world. So this will be telling. Yeah. Interview me in a few months when I'm back. No, I hope it's okay. I think it will be.
I think about the way you describe how it feels to be on the trail, and it kind of reminds me of the way my mom talks about feeling now that she's, like, through menopause. Like, she says she feels, like, more like a kid again than she ever did before. She doesn't have as much of the insecurity, and she feels free, and she doesn't worry about that, some of the things that she worried about before. Mm. It seems very freeing. Seems nice.
It's freeing.
To lose some of those hormones. Yeah. It sounds awful, but.
Yeah. I feel like freeing. I bet she, well, I don't want to speak for her, but
yeah.
Also, like, it's empowering too, just to, like, be like, I don't care about all that stuff. Yeah. Like, you do kind of feel like it's the simple things that matter, right? And like, you know, I listened to this podcast the other day. I think you're going to really appreciate this.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what it was about. Oh, no, it was a book. But they were talking about the beauty of children and how they freaking just say what they want without, like, any, there's no filter. And I kind of am like that in some ways that I need to control. But one thing I really love about that is, like, they see themselves as, like, the most beautiful. Like, they, like, people say I'm pretty, they're like, thanks, like, and they just, like, strike a pose, you know what I mean? And then, like, or, like, people say you're really strong, and they're like, yeah, you know, like, I want to be like that.
Remember at the beginning of the episode when I said I'd provide a heads up? The next 3.5 minutes or so contain talk of sexual assault and also harassment. Okay, back to Grizel.
And this is really, like, important for me right now. Like, if someone says something mean, they'll just say, that's mean, like, I think that's so powerful to do that, and, like, to just stand up for yourself and be like, I don't like that. Like, I wanna embody that childness, you know? Like, that's been, like, it's gonna make me cry. But, like, that has been, like, the coolest thing about, like, the AT for me is, like, on the PCT, I was learning about this voice I had, like, after, like, getting raped, right, your voice is completely stolen from you, and you just don't think that, like, you matter, you know? Sorry. But it's just like, yeah, it's just completely just taken from you. And you just don't think you have a voice. And like, even if you, and even more so, like you try to speak up and someone ignored it. And so after that happened to me, I went on this quest to be like, what actually matters to me and what is my voice and all of these things. And so the PCT was so much about like, I remember some guy grabbed my ass on the PCT. It was terrible. And I didn't say anything because he said he was drunk and whatever. And then I thought about that again and I was like, no, that's not okay. I saw him a month later and I told him how I didn't appreciate that he did that. And that was the first time I said something. And then this whole AT hike has been like me listening to that, being that kid like you were talking about with your mom and being like, no, like these are the things that are important to me and I'm gonna say something about that. And like, and it seems childlike, but it's always so freeing. And even just this trail, like as vulnerable as it is, like on Instagram, like talking about the guy that, I don't know if I wrote it black and white, but like he said, he literally told me in front of 49er that he wanted to massage my chest, which is disgusting. Like, and he said it in front of another guy. I don't want to be a part of that. And just finding my voice in this, which is also a whole nother process, and like learning how to report things, like the actual, like to do things about it. But like to say like, no, like this isn't okay. I don't know, even know what I'm trying to say, but.
No, it's a whole nother thing, like to also tell people in person to find your voice and say that makes me feel unsafe. Like that might not be your intention, but that's what you're doing and that's not okay. And you can never do this again.
Yeah.
Can never make someone feel unsafe like this again, especially not me.
Yeah. 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 And it's a terrifying journey. And I think a lot of women struggle with it. I think we've all like been told to kind of shut up, you know, like what you say doesn't matter kind of thing. And I think we do matter a lot. And I want so desperately for like, I want the outdoors to be that safe place for us. And I wish it was better. And I'm hoping to make a tiny difference in that.
For Grizel, choosing through hiking and using her growing social media platform to share her experiences with others says that she's choosing today, choosing herself, and choosing to have a voice.
That's the most healing thing you can do, is to like learn how to make smart decisions while you're out here and saying like, I'm worth making these smart decisions. And that's why I think I don't know if I'm addicted to through hiking. This is only my second trail, but that's a huge reason why I'm out here, and I want to empower all of the women to try it too, if that's what they want. Yeah.
You don't know if you're addicted to through hiking.
They say it's a bug, right?
Is it true that? Do you get time to think when you're hiking?
I do and I don't. It just depends. Like, so I overthink things. I definitely overthink. But I process them out like through writing or something. It really just depends. I know some people that, like, you're so busy. Like, even though you're just walking, you're busy all day. You're, like, literally going from one place to another. And the decisions are super small, like you're deciding on where to eat or what to eat, but it does keep you kind of busy. And it's more just, for me, it's been more like circumstances have kind of made me think, or like a beautiful view. I had a really cool view the other day on Killington Peak. We did it, and I just like was up on this mountain top, and I just like started tearing up, and just like, because I was like, God, I'm so lucky. And so it's like those moments where I feel like, and then that whole day I just process that. Like, I was just like, people would kill to have this experience. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, those are the moments. But like, especially on the AT, those are not very common. That you're just, but I mean, then again, I say that, like, In Vermont, the mud was up to my knees, literally up to my knees. And I was just like, you have, and so I'm thinking about how I have two ways to handle this. I'm like, I can be pissed all day, or I can just like kind of laugh about it. And I can just joke and be like somewhat satirical about this whole thing. You know, like there's, you're learning, but I don't think you really realize how much you're growing until like after, at least I don't. So kind of thinking.
I'll be curious to hear how you feel in like a month, like 2 weeks off trail, or like a week. I guess you'll be like a week off trail.
Yeah, I think I'll get sad. My body will be happy. It'd be like, thank God you're resting. But I love the simplicity of thru hiking. Like, thru hiking is the most simple thing. It's not complicated. You walk, you wake up and you walk all day, and then you go to sleep exhausted. Like, you, sleeping for me is not even an issue. And some people have a really hard time sleeping outside. I am lucky to not have that difficulty. And then I just go to sleep like instantly, lights out. And then I wake up and do the same thing every single morning. And it's so, it's like meditative. It's just, and it's enough. It's really like, life doesn't have to be as complicated as it, as we make it, you know?
As I said earlier, Grizel is just a few days away from completing the Appalachian Trail. So if you're able to go on to social media and cheer her on, I know she'd appreciate it. Thank you, Grizel, for spending some precious off-the-trail time with me. I'll link her Instagram and portfolio in the show notes. It's @_Grizel, that's G-R-I-Z-E-L, and another underscore. Thank you to Meryl for sponsoring this episode. You can learn more about She Explores by heading to our website, she-explores.com, or finding us on social media at @she_explores on Instagram, She Explores on Twitter, and She Explores on Facebook. If you enjoy this podcast, there are two easy ways to help support us. First, spread the word. You can do that by leaving a review where you listen or sharing the podcast with a friend. Both, I've heard, help a lot. Second, join our She Explores podcast Facebook group. It's my favorite place to connect with you all and come up with new episode ideas. Honestly, I've found so many new people through connecting with you through the Facebook group. It's also great to see you connect with each other and ask each other for outdoor advice and share in each other's triumphs and challenges. Music is by Maiden, Lee Rosevere, and Kay Angle using a Creative Commons Attributions license. I'm really excited to say that this week we have two episodes, which is great to queue up just in time for a holiday week. On Friday, I'll share a conversation that I had with Nikki Smith, an ambassador for Mountain Hardware, a photographer, a climber, a cook, a cocktail maker, and a trans woman. Until then, have fun out there.